Hello everyone, welcome to the B2B SaaS podcast. I'm your host Upendra Verma. Today we have Dana Dunford with us. Dana here is the co-founder and CEO of a company called Hemlane. Hey Dana, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right Dana, so let's try to understand what Hemlane does, right, and why customers pay you money.
Yeah, so Hemlane is a property management platform. So if you own a rental property, you can manage it through Hemlane. The big differentiator with Hemlane is that before Hemlane, there were basically two ways to manage your rental property. One is do everything yourself. Two is hire a full service traditional property manager. 72% of people self-manage their properties. So they're not using a property manager, but they complain about it. They say, I don't want to have to drive out to do a showing. I don't want a repair call at 2 a.m. I actually want to build wealth through real estate, passive income. And so we launched Hemlane in order to make that more accessible, affordable property management. And so what we are is a hybrid model, a plug and play. The software automates about 70% of the day-to-day management. And then we have tech-enabled services such as 24/7 repair coordination, self-guided tours for tenants to go and tour properties, all of that fun stuff as part of the product itself that you can opt into at any time and get the services you need.
Got it, right? That makes a lot of sense. So we'll understand, you know, how this is split, but just help me understand, right? So how many, you know, customers do you, like how many paying customers you've got on your platform as of today?
Yeah, we have 23,000 rental properties across all 50 states. So we're nationwide in the US. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure I haven't found another property manager that goes after the, you know, small mom and pop that has that large of a portfolio today.
And so how many properties does a typical owner or, you know, customer, you know, own on average?
Our average is 8. Our median is 6. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the industry itself, the average is 2 that folks okay. own. So it's very, very small. A lot of folks are accidental landlords through, you know, property being passed down, holding onto a property when they purchase a new one, et cetera.
Gotcha. And on an average, like how much do they typically pay you? I could see a lot of plans on your website, right? But how does it typically work, right? So strictly from a software perspective, how much do they pay you on an average?
Yeah, our average customer pays us just over $79 a month.
Got something like around $100 a month, something like that?
Yeah, around $100. You could round up, totally.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on, right? So makes sense, right? So I just want to get a sense of like where you're getting all of these, you know, property owners to, you know, find, like how are they discovering you in the first place, right? What's really working for you today? Like what's that growth channel that's you know, driving all of these leads to you?
Yeah, good question. So at the beginning, it was all referrals. When you think about creating a new category in an industry, mm-hmm. What basically happens is people aren't searching for you. People are searching for like free landlord software, or I want a local property manager. And so it's hard because people won't find you, you know, through searching you on Google from that perspective. It's very similar to the Airbnb model of like, no one's searching to like live on someone's couch, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so when you create a new category in space, you have to find other ways to grow. Mm-hmm. Our source is through referrals. Mm-hmm. So referrals of other rental owners, so real estate investors on the platform, all the way to communities. So what I mean and define as a community is like a real estate agent, mm-hmm. referred business to us. Those people are really happy with us. They continue to refer business to us. So it's a lot of affiliates as well as referrals that continue to help with that flywheel and growth.
Okay. So I just want to take you to the beginning, right? So I mean, for it all to make work, it's got to start somewhere, right? So how did it all start for you? Like,
yeah.
How did you manage to sort of get those first 100-odd customers, right? So where did they discover you, strictly from a top of funnel perspective?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the first 100 customers, what I did was, I don't know if LinkedIn still has this. I went to my LinkedIn and I have about, I think it's like 6,000 connections on LinkedIn. And most of them, you know, I know. Mm-hmm. And so I went through and there's a CSV export in Excel mm-hmm. That exports from LinkedIn to Excel. And I exported it. And it has everything from who the contact is to what their email address is to what their even phone number is if they put it in there, what their job title is, everything. And I created another column at the end of my spreadsheet. And it was a variable that said, you know, hi, and then it would say like first name and would concatenate the first name. And then I would always put something personal in there. I'd have like another column that just is something personal, like, you know, haven't seen you since college, hope you're doing well or whatever. And I would kind of lump them into that. So I'd filter for like, hey, I used to work at Apple. So anyone at Apple, I have this personal template, this and that. And then it would just concatenate together. And I emailed, I think the first would say 900 people in that 5,000 list.
Okay.
And my goal was not to say like, use Hemlane. Mm-hmm. It was just to rebuild the connection of, hey, started this company called Hemlane. We work with rental owners looking to get feedback from people who own rental properties. Mm-hmm. Do you own rental properties or know anyone who does? And what that did was basically get me warm introductions to a ton of people. Mm-hmm. And then some, it was really interesting. Some people I worked with had no idea. They're like, yeah, you own 6 rental properties. I was like, wait, what? And they're like, yeah, I'd love to try your product. Let me go ahead and get started on it. And so that really helped. And that actually helped build from a product perspective, us wanting to make sure the product worked really well. Mm-hmm. Because when you go to your personal network, you mm-hmm. know, you want to make sure you have a good reputation.
Yeah.
And so really pushing that level. And then the biggest thing, or the thing I just have to warn others, if they do that and go through their LinkedIn to get those first 100 customers, the biggest thing I have to warn you about is you have to tell these customers to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes if it's a personal connection, they'll say like, oh, I love your product. It's amazing. Because they don't want to let you down. Yeah. Like you guys went to college together or something. So what I did make sure to tell them is, hey, I want your honest feedback. I want mm-hmm. you to tell me I might not move forward with this. So like, mm-hmm. I want your totally honest feedback of would you use this or not? And I felt like then that helped us build an even better product.
So the first 100 customers, right? Were a majority of them your first level connections, or I'm assuming they're like intros that your first level connections gave you?
Yeah. So of those, the first like 900 emails that I sent out, and I did them each individually, so it wasn't like a mass one. Mm-hmm. I would say that there was probably of their 10% who had rental properties and would talk to me.
Okay.
And then everyone else was, hey, my next door neighbor has property. My sister has properties.
Yeah.
And then I would just take all of those. I also use something called Boomerang. I'm obsessed with it in Google. Mm-hmm. So every time I send an email, I say like Boomerang me in 2 days if they don't respond. Mm-hmm. And so that was just kind of my project management to make sure I stayed on top of everything. Right.
So like, so talk about the generator. So from 100 to let's say 3-4,000 customers that you have today, right? So like, I'm struggling to understand, it's just referrals. I mean, you must have done something there, right? To, you know, let these affiliates, you know, go and spread the word. Like, what have you been doing? Is it more than just referrals and affiliates? Do you have any other channel going on?
Yeah, great question. Affiliates are big, and how affiliates came was through referrals. It was customers who were like, hey, I own the largest real estate investing group or something like that. Can I refer customers to you? And at the beginning, we were really great. Yeah, refer customers to us. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, we should probably build out an affiliate referral like program mm-hmm. that is specific for them.
So Dana, can you just quantify this year, right? So over the past 12 months, right, let's say you've got N number of customers, right? How many of them actually came through this, you know, affiliate program of yours that you've just explained us?
Yeah, good question. It's over 50% okay. That are affiliate. And we do an affiliate and partner. And then that's through some of like the landing pages, content they help write about us, all of that kind of stuff. But a lot comes through that. And the other thing is on the real estate association side, mm-hmm. working with associations, working with others, like we consider all of that as part of our affiliates and partners. Mm-hmm. So that's been super helpful. And then organic is another interesting one for us that I didn't put too much emphasis and time into. But we're definitely doing more. I remember like I wrote an article in the early days called like Venmo for rent collection. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's a terrible way to collect rent as a landlord, this and that. It was really interesting as we'd randomly get calls. And back then, you know, we didn't have a sales team. So I would pick it up. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, how did you hear about us? They're like, oh, I read one of your articles on Venmo for rent collection. And then I'd Google search. I was like, wait, we got to the top for that. Because people are thinking about collecting rent through Venmo. And of course, Venmo is not going to like worry about that minute detail. And so certain things like that of like being out there, I think is really important as well. Just like, you know, being here today, I think being out there and letting people know what your vision and passion is and what makes you different is really important as a founder.
So like then I talk about what it takes to close a typical deal of yours, right? So like do you have any salesperson in your team who's, you know, handholding these, you know, property owners to close a deal is it just happening? Like, can you just walk us through that sales cycle?
Yeah, that was something we should have built earlier. So we basically have always a salesperson there for you. Now, there's some customers who say I can self onboard. I do not myself need at all any handholding, but we do have someone there because the second that a customer gets to us, they're so valuable that we would hate because they didn't understand the new model and how Hemlane works that they didn't convert. And so we do have someone there, sends them an automated email. Just as a heads up, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us.
But it's low touch, right? So it's not somebody in your team, you know, sitting and, you know, trying to walk them through for a couple of weeks and, you know, getting the deal closed because it's just $1,000 deal. You can't afford to have your people, you know, just doing that.
Yeah, I mean, they do demos. They definitely do demos. But you're right. Like, as far as like every day going on Zoom or meeting in person, no, they don't do that. And usually our customers don't want that. The customers are very much of, hey, tell me about these five different questions I have, and a 5-minute call will change something so much.
Got it. So then talk about your go-to-market team, right? So who's in there and what are they doing?
Yeah, so our go-to-market team, it's very interesting. We're a very collaborative, cross-collaborative company. So a lot on the go-to-market side is thinking about product as well, and product helping support and aid and facilitate that of getting to customers at the right time. Then we have a marketing team and then a sales team that work together that roll up under an org called Revenue. And so Revenue is like the org that both sales and marketing report to.
Got it. All right. So like talk about the whole, you know, retention, right? So I mean, you've got tons of customers here, right? So, and like, how does retention work? Like, do they churn out typically? Like, how does those numbers look like and what are you doing there?
Yeah, we target and we also have 100% MRR retention. So even if a customer sells their rental property, we have others who are upgrading, adding more rentals to basically keep it there. I think with SMB, like we're SMB, we're small mom and pop, right? That we go after. I think, you know, getting to 130% MRR retention is much more difficult to do because you're not growing your employee headcount like like enterprise does or whatever it is to increase that. But on the SMB side, it's like, if you think about how often someone buys a property, it's like maybe once every 4 years, maybe never, right? And so for us, we try to aim to keep that 100% MRR retention rather than, and then we have add-on ancillaries that bring another 20 to 30% in revenue just based on, hey, you need insurance, you need a background and credit check, all this other stuff that goes into it.
So just to interpret this correctly, you've got no churn. Is that what you're saying?
No, we do have churn.
Like can you quantify that? Okay, you're talking about revenue retention as such overall. Okay.
Yeah, our MRR retention always.
So what's the lower churn here typically? Like for every, like say 1,000 customers you have, right? How many of them stick for the next 12 months?
Our churn is less than 1%. Like we're always from that perspective, making sure that churn is controllable, in other words, like that a customer's not churning because they hate the product or something.
That's 1%
like that.
Per month, right? Something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's very healthy. And just talk about your funding, right? Have you raised any external funding so far to build your company?
Yeah, we have. So we raised Series Seed and Series A. And we did those in 2019 and then 2021.
And how much in total did you raise to build the company so far?
We raised just over 12 million.
Got it. And just what's the vision here, like, Dana? So where you see your company going in next, let's say 3 to 4 years?
Yeah, great question. I think there's a lot of folks who are in jobs who say, how do I get out of this day-to-day job? Maybe when I'm 40 or something like that. And real estate is the best way to do it. if you can buy real estate and build up a portfolio, then you have passive income every single month. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't know how to do that. And so for us, it's one, eliminating the stigma associated with renting or owning rental properties, and then just providing the ability not only to manage, but eventually be able to purchase rental properties anywhere and then manage them from anywhere.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. And one question I missed, like, where are you in terms of company as in, you know, your overall ARR approximately?
Yeah, so we're just healthy. We're very healthy. Like when we raised our Series A, we were over, I think there's $1 million marker, and we were well over that. Mm-hmm. And then for Series B, where we're going, you know, they're wanting 5 to 10 million in ARR, and we're already projected to be well over that. So
okay, that sounds wonderful. Thanks, Dina. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me. Hope you scale Hemlane to much greater heights.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.